Europeans love their bookstores, and European legislators helped to keep it that way with laws across several countries that equalize the cost of print and digital editions. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. While one result of such legal price fixing is that physical bookstores will survive, continental consumers understandably complain that the arrangement keeps prices for ebooks too high. The system drives many readers to search out pirated editions online, causing publishers pain and cutting into their profits. As Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, learned recently in Barcelona, the publisher's saviors may be at hand, and he tells us more from his office in New York City, where he's returned. And Andrew, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, we will get to that particular insight from your travels in just a minute, but we've been noticing that there's been some major love for independent publishers and booksellers this past week. We saw the annual conference of PubWest out in Los Angeles. I was there for some of that. And the preview that we got last week from Jim Milliot of the ABA Winter Institute kind of warmed us up, shall we say, for Asheville. So tell us more about all of that, but let's get the kids' table set, and there are some children's announcements.
That's right. Monday's issue of Publishers Weekly is always one of our biggest and one of our best of the year. It's children's announcements, this one for the spring. And it includes everything from kids' books to YA novels, hundreds of titles to be published in the coming months, much like our adult announcements that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And the issue also includes a number of author profiles and features, including a really interesting one on the rise of YouTube in children's publishing, which I think is just a fascinating read. And one thing I'd point out, too, is that the kids market, it really just isn't for kids anymore. You know, YA books going back to, you know, Harry Potter and actually even a little before then have become extremely popular with adults. And the point I'd really make is that without the children's and YA market, the publishing industry numbers would probably look very bleak. So thank you very much, John Green, for keeping many of us publishing professionals gainfully employed.
Well, and, you know, John Green returned the love earlier this week when he keynoted the Winter Institute in Asheville. And we talked a little bit about it, as I said, with Jim Milliot right before the show opened. And now you can give us some of the highlights.
Yeah, you know, we've spoken quite a bit about Winter Institute, about what to expect, and now we can finally tell you what actually happened. You can read the full coverage of the meeting on the PW website, of course, and there'll be a report on Monday's issue. But yeah, suffice it to say, it was a strong meeting in Asheville, and John Green did indeed return the love. He told attendees that life would, and I quote here, suck without them. And he stood for many pictures and handshakes and just charmed the heck out of everybody there, I'm told. ABA CEO Oren Teicher told PW that anybody who doubted the resurgence of independent booksellers should have been in Asheville. He called the conference an extraordinary 3 days. And I think the importance of the indie bookselling sector was also underscored by the number of industry leaders who showed up in Asheville. And that includes Macmillan CEO John Sargent, Hachette CEO Michael Peach, and Penguin Publishing Group head Madeline McIntosh. So aside from the love fest, there were also some, as there always are, there were some thorny issues to deal with there too. And I have to say, one of the most interesting issues came up in a town hall, and that was the issue of the minimum wage. Now, as you know, a minimum wage hike has been bandied about in the political realm recently, and it's actually a pretty tough issue for independent booksellers who, at the meeting, lamented that given their small margins and their small scale, it would actually be tough for indie booksellers to absorb a wage hike. And as you might expect, that business reality is in conflict with many booksellers, shall we say, political leanings. You know, we're talking about a group of people and indie booksellers who really are sort of, you know, standard pillars, exemplars in their communities, and whose political leanings are, you know, pretty liberal in general, even though I think minimum wage is an issue that cuts across party lines. But while they would love to see everybody earn a living wage, business-wise, it's actually going to have an impact on them. So I was really fascinated by this discussion at Winter Institute, and we're going to be exploring this more in the coming weeks. Because, you know, for all the talk about Amazon and the major publishers, I think this issue at Winter Institute, minimum wage, points out that, you know, if as a culture we deem it important to support a reading culture, if we deem it important to support a vibrant community of indie booksellers, then we can't just leave this important sector to the vagaries of the market. You know, I think the minimum wage issue puts booksellers into an uncomfortable, rather political position. But that said, I think, you know, support of reading, whether it's bookstores, libraries, or schools, needs to be a political discussion, and a political discussion that extends beyond the DOJ's antitrust division, shall we say. So, you know, I'll leave you with a sobering number there. Despite the resurgence in indie bookselling and all the love that we got in Asheville, it's worth noting some numbers that we reported yesterday. In 2014, overall bookstore sales fell 4.5%, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. So it's nice to hear all the love, but I think we could also stand for a little action too.
Indeed. Well, you know, you got a little traveling action into your life this past week when you went to Barcelona, Spain, and that gives you a perspective on the publishing world that goes far beyond our own country. Tell us about your trip.
Yeah, it was a tremendous trip. You know, I think what surprises me most is that I managed to make it to Chicago and back to New York and on to Spain without getting stuck in an airport or snowed in, something you probably know a little bit about there in Boston.
Chris. Indeed, indeed.
But, you know, this was my first time in Barcelona, and I have to say I was amazed. I've been in Spain many times, but I was always told repeatedly that Barcelona is in Spain. And I learned that in Barcelona from my friends there who talked about independence, and their quest for independence there is very real. But, you know, aside from all that and the onslaught of tapas and sangria, I was there for two meetings of editors with the other publishing magazines from around the world. It's a group called Pub Magnet, and this includes Spain, the UK, Italy, France, Germany, Denmark, Norway, Brazil, and a few others. And globally, the book business is, as it is in the U.S. Sector, under a little bit of stress, you might say. But also like the U.S., there was a lot of optimism for the future. But what I really got a sense of in Barcelona at these meetings was just how real and how deep the global recession is in Europe and the pain that it's causing in the book business. And in the U.S., we're starting to, you know, come out of our recession, or at least that's what they'd have us believe. But in Spain, the recession is hopefully at the bottom, they say, but really at a very low point. And in the Eurozone in general, there's a lot that's in flux there, especially with the news that Greece, with a new government, is looking to end its austerity program, and something that could force a showdown that might actually lead them to be expelled from the Eurozone. I'll have to wait and see about that. But what was most interesting to me was the discussion of the library market in Europe, and especially the resistance to the library lending of ebooks. You know, we talk a lot about library ebook lending on this show, but the issues seem even thornier abroad. Notably in Spain, however, publishers appear to be changing their tunes. We had a great presentation from a librarian in Barcelona who noted that her budget for digital books is going to surge. She's looking to spend a lot more money on ebooks in the coming years, and that the publishers there, who've been racked by this global recession, have seen consumer ebook spending plummet, and they're now looking to the library market as a potential business partner. So, you know, in addition, you know, Spain is being invaded by cheap Android tablets. And this is one thing I noticed. You see them everywhere. And that's really starting to alter the way not just the Spanish, but also Europeans read. But here's kind of the rub. The consensus is that ebooks in Europe are still priced way too high. And as you mentioned in your intro, there's a number of reasons for that. There's fixed book pricing and all kinds of laws that are designed to protect booksellers there. But, you know, ebooks are just not a value in Europe right now, even though more and more people want to read them. And that has driven concerns about piracy. Now, notably in the U.S., piracy is not really much of a issue of prominent discussion. It still remains a concern, and we still do talk about it. But I think we've moved on to discussing business rather than, you know, enforcement much more in this country. But in Europe, the ebook market is still a little bit behind us, and publishers there are intensely concerned that readers are going to become used to reading pirated editions on their cheap Android tablets. And that has enabled the libraries to go to the publishers and say, hey, we are the solution to your piracy worries. People who want to read can read for free through us. You'll still get paid. But better yet, we bring these readers into a legitimate market. And that argument appears to be gaining some traction. We were also treated to some presentations by some Spanish publishing startups. And while none of those ventures were groundbreaking in the U.S., I'll be writing more about those in the coming days, their efforts show that the digital book business in Europe is starting to bring a lot of innovation to the table and looks poised to take off. So all in all, a fascinating couple of days in a lovely city, Barcelona. And you can look for more on my experience there in on the PW website in the coming days.
Well, I was going to say gracias, amigo, but you wouldn't say that in Barcelona. It would have to
You'd
be
say gracias. They say the C like a TH there. So everything was Barcelona and gracias.
All right. Well, thank you indeed. Andrew Albany, senior writer, Publishers Weekly, for joining us, as you do every week on Friday here in Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.